terror. You know, terror is something that's in the hearts of people that are not acquainted with the Word of God. Fear is in the hearts of people that are not acquainted with the Word of God. Fear is what is in the hearts of people that are not used to being in a nation that's well worth fighting for. It has been fought for many times, these rights that we hold so dear. So never let terrorists strike you. Hey, stuff happens. Deal with it. You're a child of God. We have God with us. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. So therefore, I want to talk to about terror. Christ's tongue is a two-edged sword. That means it cuts both spiritually and physically when he's ready for it, if it's in your hand. All right? It cuts both ways. The truth cuts both ways. A lie or a falseness can never stand before Almighty God. Your documentation for that is Revelation chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Christ's tongue, the two-edged sword. Why? He's the avenger. Vengeance belongeth to God. That's why you want to make certain that you always are in His will. I don't care what men say. I don't care what kind of crazy coots they get off on. Stick to God's word and be a winner. Be one blessed. Be a ministry that's blessed by focusing and concentrating on God's word. Will that make you perfect? Will that make me perfect? Probably not. But at least you'll be perfect in God's eyes when you repent. And that's what brings forth His blessings. And indeed we are blessed, and I thank our Father for that. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's talk first about the spiritual terror that is in the hearts of one that knows better and still breaks God's commandments. Because, you know, anytime you don't have Him with you, you've got something to be fearful of. It doesn't matter what men say, this man or any other man. Men will lead you down Primrose Lane. Trust me. Men will lead you down Primrose Lane. Concentrate on the Word of God. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness, that's the humility, and gentleness of Christ. Now Paul didn't say he was all that gentle, but he's trying. Who in presence am base, humble, that is, among you, but being absent and bold toward you. In other words, what he's saying here is, don't force me when I'm there to have to be strong with you. Be obedient to God so I don't have to come down on your case, all right? Where I don't have to cross up your little wicket. Verse 2, but I beseech you, I kind of plead with you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Some people just think that we walk as ordinary men, and not when He was in the Word. I'm getting a little bit of feedback, David, from somewhere. Not walking as ordinary men. Why? Teachers of God's Word. You keep man out of the game. Oh, but I feel like I'm so important. You're not. It's God's Word that's important. It's pleasing your Father that is important. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, our main battle is a spiritual war. It's the spiritual side of that two-edged sword. Why? It's the more severe. It's the more lasting. It's eternal. When you mess up with that side, that is to say the spiritual, you're playing with a life in hell. And your life also will be hell here on earth as you walk in the flesh. That's up to you. It's your choice. Okay? Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to catch the power within that. The pulling down is a word we're going to deal with quite a bit here. katathiosis in the Greek. It means to cast down or pull down or destroy. Seems like we've had a little bit of that destruction in a different vein, a different spirit here of late. But the true word of God will cast down, destroy your enemies. The word terra in the Greek is pronounced ekphobio, and it means to frighten utterly. I mean to the death. As long as you're in God's word, you shouldn't fall in that category. As we remember the Greek word epipeto, which is a paralyzing fear that can come over some. What do you have to fear? God's on the throne. God's in control. You pray to him all the time. What are you worried about? He knows what's happening. And as long as your nation does it God's way, and we're going to verify whether we are or not here when we go from this spiritual to the physical in a little bit, okay? Now continuing on. Casting down, there's that word again, means destruction. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're going to have people that are going to come up to you and say, I'm imagining a wonderful thing that I can share with you, and I think I'm the only person in the world God has shared it with. You want to mark that person right there on the spot and probably not have anything else to do with them. Because in the first place, God doesn't put his truth under a basket to be hidden from anyone. It's supposed to shine like a bright light. And when a person tells you they have a secret just for you and a few chosen, be very careful. God has his elect, and their light shines bright. They're not ashamed, and they're salty. All right? Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, when your obedience has reached to, I don't know, what's your limit? What is your limit on obedience? How perfect can you be? Because the word in a sense translates perfectness. I don't know you that well. I don't know anybody that's perfect, quite frankly. So when it gets as full as it can get, that's your number. You're doing your best, that is to say. Be ready for vengeance. Don't be one of these peacenik wimps, okay? They are too ignorant to come in out of the rain, okay? They think that all you have to do is ignore murderers and they'll go away. That isn't biblical. It isn't even natural. The more you let a bully have his way, the bullier he gets. So you got to put him in line. You got to take him down. If a copperhead bites you, kill it. Okay, you know what? I just want to tame it. It'll bite you again, fool. Kill it. Verse, vengeance belongeth to the Father, and the truth gives you common sense to know how to wield the sword of God. 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Is that all you do? Do you have a little spiritual touch in your heart? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. I can, what Paul is saying here, I can show my connection to Christ. Well, how could he do that? Well, he was beaten, shipwrecked, life-threatened. For what purpose? To deliver the truth, to deliver the word. Struck down on the road to Damascus, not of his will, but of God's, chosen of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, to take forward the word on three levels and to three different types and messages to different peoples, whereby they could understand and clearly see the truth. Of course he could prove his connection with Christ. 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification. Did the Lord give us authority so we could show off? No, to help correct people, so that people could see the blessings of God happening in their eyes, and smart people follow in the wake. All right? Christ's wake, that is to say, and not for your destruction. There's that word again. I should not be ashamed. In other words, the message of God is supposed to bring you in truth, not destruction. But if you go against the word of God, I guarantee you it will bring destruction. It will destroy you. It'll take you to hell, all right? That I may, verse 9, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. I don't want to be a terrorist. I don't want to be called a terrorist. And I don't want you saying I'm writing you letters that just terrify you to pieces. Why? Well, you certainly wouldn't be in the Word if you're frightened, would you? Now, it's a common, let me tell you something. Anytime before a battle, every man's heart or woman's heart is going to be a little unsettled. But if you're disciplined, the minute the first sword is swung, discipline takes over and you go into combat, whether it's spiritual or physical. Christ's tongue is a two-edged sword. What do you got, friend? What do you got? Verse 10, for his letters, say they, this is what people say about Paul, for his letters, say they're weighty and powerful, but his boldly presence is weak and his speech contemptible. He's the sorriest preacher I've ever heard in my life, that Paul is. That's what they say. Well, Paul wasn't all that eloquent in Greek especially. He spoke colloquial Greek. That means country Greek, right down where the rubber meets the road. It sounded a little tacky to some of them. Did he say him or his? Or he or him? Correctly spoken. Well, Paul, again, spoke street Greek. Like it, lump it, or leave it. It was still from God, friend. He was one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the earth aside from Christ himself. Why? He wrote most of the New Testament for Almighty God. He was the best, that's what I'm saying, all right? Always follow a winner, not a loser. I don't care what the sound might be, if it is of the Word of God. Verse 11, let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. I can be just as hard in person as I am in letters if I have to be, Paul said. I don't know, what do you got? Are you salting? Or are you kind of a wimp when it comes to standing up for God? Are you afraid? Then don't be. God's in control. We've got the victory already and you should know it. Why? We're doing it God's way. I'll document it here in a little bit. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. We're bold enough that we don't make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that condemn themselves. Why? How do they condemn themselves? By their actions, by their words. Don't do this. Don't do that. Listen to me. Don't listen to the Word of God. You do as God leads you. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. They're just a little bit on the stupid side. Recognize stupidity when you see it. What is stupidity? It is man trying to override God's word by his own personal or her own personal emotions instead of letting God's two-edged sword cut and heal and find in your heart and life that as long as God is with you, as it is written, who can be against you? Romans chapter 8. If God be with you, for you, who can be against you? It don't matter. They're going down. They're going to bring about their own destruction. Verse 13 to complete our reading here. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule with which God hath distributed to us a measure to reach even unto you. God's rules will reach out even to you, will guide you, will direct you, We'll protect you. We'll give you the wisdom and the knowledge that you need to utilize your time and spiritual efforts, regardless of what the world or the flesh world might be doing. It puts you in your place. It makes a warrior out of you for Almighty God. When the going gets rough, sometimes the weak kind of fall out by the wayside. The tough get going. The salty get going. Why? Well, God has a purpose. Are you going to slack off from it and then say, God, will you bless me? I can tell you what he'll tell you. Ain't no way, honey. Forget it. You have to obey him. God, through the Son's sword, is a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. I don't know. How are you doing? When you stay in his word, that sword will cut with you. When you take hold of that sword, do you know how to use it? Okay, what is Paul kind of pulling from here? Okay, we could say. Well, he's kind of taken from a proverb. I don't know how many of you recognize it. When a man gets ready to take or do something, he's supposed to size things up pretty well, okay? Especially if it's a war, like he said, our war is not, our weapons are different than some. He's talking about going to war. And we have a war. It's between us and Satan. And he was pulling from Proverb 21. Christ would pull from this proverb also in the great book of Luke. Proverbs chapter 21. I'm going to begin with verse 21 just to, while you're catching up there. Proverbs 21, verse 21 reads, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life. That means eternal life, righteousness and honor. 22, listen carefully. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. And there's that word casteth down again, utter destruction. A wise man. I don't know, where's your wisdom? I hope you realize that your wisdom is from God's word. What does this have reference to? I mean, I could give you an example in Ecclesiastes, but there was a brave, wise woman that it more reminds me of, almost brings us to the situation where we are today. We'll go just a verse or two further here in this Proverbs 21, and then I'll let my mind take us there, okay? We'll let the Spirit take us there. Verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That is to say, if you listen to God, if you listen to his word, and let your little old thoughts judge themselves and listen to him, you'll be a lot better off, okay? Now, that isn't to say that you're not to be salty once you see what God's will is. But see that you don't self-impose your own wishes. That's dangerous, especially when the chips are down. You know, God's elect work better under pressure than they do any other time. So get yourself used to it. You're going to need it. Verse 24, proud and haughty scorner is his name. That's what they call him, a scoffer, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful, that's to say the lazy people, killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. That's a true saying also. I love Proverbs, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Paul was pulling from this. Christ would pull for it when he in the great book of Luke, and I'll say a few more words on that in a little bit. Christ himself. He said, one king doesn't go to war against another king without scaling. You know what a scale is? That's where you do some measuring. Okay? That means when you look him up and you look this old boy in the face and say, I think I can whoop you. You look him up and down good before you say that. Okay? I think I can whoop you. And that old boy might look you up and down and say, I don't believe you can do her. Let's get her on. Okay, so the same way with war. I mean, you look that situation over and you scale it. Do you think we've been doing that in our situation today? Don't get in a hurry, friend. Scale it well. That's wisdom. That's God's way. Now, back to this little woman. You know, there are certain laws about war in God's Word that this proverb that Christ would use. Go with me to 2 Samuel real quickly here. And find chapter 20 in 2 Samuel, and let's talk about a little woman here. Excuse me. First, let me set the stage just a little bit in case you can't remember what's going on. Poor old David's having trouble, all right, King David. His son Absalom had war with him, you know, kind of broke off, one of his sister's sons, his nephew, named Joab, he was a fighter. If he knew he was a warrior. And unfortunately, he did some pretty bad things when David named another general whenever he kind of had a little bit to do with one of David's favorites' death. He kind of named another man over him, and he went up to him and said, "My good friend," you know, and kind of opened him up, not his coat, his belly, okay? Joab was, because why? God wanted him to be the general. Well, that sounds gross. It was. You should have seen it. Okay, it was really gross. But they drug him off the side of the road because nobody would go past, you know, but they finally drug him off the side of the road. But Sheba was a man of Satan. If you go to the 20th chapter there, verse 1, it'll tell you that. Well, let's just catch up with that. Chapter 20, 2 Samuel, verse 1. "And there happened to be there a man of Belial," that means of Satan or evil, "whose name was Sheba." And of course, that means oath of seven, all right, or seven. Well, we know who his oath was with. It wasn't God. That's why just because somebody takes an oath, you be careful, friend. They may claim to be servants of God, and they may be a snake in the grass, okay? "The son of Bichri, the Benjamite, and he blew a trumpet and said, 'We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel.'" He's a false leader. He gathered up a bunch of them, but there were just a few compared to the size of Israel. And off he went. Okay. Well, Joab goes after him. I mean, he knows this has got to be put down. If somebody brings terror on our people, there's only one answer. That's to put them down. Do you know why? Well, we could talk to him. Talking after a point doesn't help, friend. They got to go down. Okay, that means they've lost it, and especially if it's for religious reasons. It's kind of sad, isn't it? But many people use the sword for many different things. The incident I talked about, Amasa, verse 9, chapter 20, verse 9. Let's flavor this up a little bit. I didn't intend to do this. But old Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health? Are you feeling good, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. Guess what his left hand is doing? Mm-mm-mm. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again. He didn't need to because he died, okay? Anyway, Joab is on his way to this city. They are hot. They are angry. They want vengeance against Sheba. Now what do we do? Let's just go down there and just blow that whole city, all the smithereens. Now, I want you to see this because I want you to know how you should be handling what's happening now. It's so easy to fall in that frame of mind. Let's just blow them all to hell, okay? Terrible thing to say because there might be some good people there, okay? So let's see what God instructs on something like this. And he's going to use a woman to slow old Joab down here. Skip down, if you would, to verse 14. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth-Mehakah. And that's the house of oppression, and I guess it was. And all the Beerites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. Let's get him. Let's, him being Sheba. Let's get him. Verse 15. And they came and besieged him in Abel of the house of Mehakah, which is to say of problems, of oppression. And they cast up a bank against the city. Man, I mean, get those tanks in place. They didn't have tanks then, but I'm trying to get you to think a little bit here. And it stood in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. I mean, they looked bad out there. They were ready for war. And they had a right to. Okay, I don't want to take away from that. They had every right to. I mean, this Sheba is a bad character, and he deserves to die. But you see, friend, there's innocent people in this town. And they're your own people, and their own people. 16, then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee." Joab means whose father is Yahweh. I think that's important that God uses these names whereby, I mean, make no mistake about it. Yahweh was Joab's father. 17. And when he was come near unto the woman, unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Now, I wonder, if you were in a certain nation today, and a handmaid come up to one of the officials in that country and said, "You need to listen to me," she'd be killed. Okay? I mean, they'd strike her down. I mean, like if she shows a leg, they cut it off. I mean, what kind of civilization is this? Just kind of bringing you up to date here. Why? I want to prove that Joab was a fair man. He said he didn't not listen because she was a female. Wisdom is wisdom, regardless if it happens to fall on a woman. Okay, you guys? Wisdom is wisdom. I'm going to lose half of my congregation right here in just a minute. All right. Verse 18. Then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old time, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel, and so they ended the matter." Now, that's a little bit confusing. What it should say, "They plainly spake in the beginning, saying, surely they will ask of Abel, and so make an end." In other words, surely they'll go by the law. This girl knew the law, okay? Do you? Do you know where that law is? You won't find it connected with Abel, because it doesn't matter what the city's name is. Turn back with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy. Hold your place here. We're not through. But we got to get you up to date here if you're not familiar with the law. Deuteronomy chapter 20. This is a law of war. Okay? Let's just pick up the first verse so you know what we're talking about, okay? "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." That's why you don't want to let fear take hold of your heart. They're going to do this to you, so bring it on. God watches over us, okay? They're about to get taught a lesson of who the true God is. That'll make me real popular, about as popular as a hare and a biscuit for saying that. But there are good people in all religions, I will say that, all right? And they're doing their best. But we'll find out who God is with, all right? But when God is with you, no one can be against you. Okay? So, but the poor woman, let's get back to her, the wise woman. Let's get back to what it was she was talking about. Let's start with 9 and see if I've lost my place. And it shall be when the officers have made an end of the speaking of the people, and they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. 10. When thou comest nigh unto a city, this is what the wise woman was talking about. When you come nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. Now that don't mean go ahead and make a full peace. That means we're willing if you meet our demands. Okay? And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, that and they shall serve thee. In other words, by that, they're going to do what you ask them to do. For instance, what have we done in this life? We've asked that certain peoples be turned over to us, and it's not the city we're after, right? Are we doing it God's way? That's my point. Yes, we are. Turn him and all of his buddies over to us. We'll even feed you. You won't be harmed. You can't get any more biblical than that. So let it be rested assured that the people that are planning this are going according to God's word. That should give you a good warm feeling right here in your body, all right, in your spirit and in your mind. That's what the woman was talking about. You come in here and you're just going to run us over? And according to law, you're supposed to ask. Now let's go back to the woman, 2 Samuel, verse 19 of that 20th chapter. The woman speaks continuing, I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? You're trying to rob God, okay? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up and or destroy. I'm not a destroyer. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, this is what our problem is. You got a terrorist in your midst. Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. This is the demand. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown unto thee over the wall. She was a very wise woman. Okay. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. That settled it. That's the biblical way. That's law. Now, we have given our demands. They're not negotiable, and nor should they be. Let's see what happens. All right? We're doing the thing I want you to know is I don't think it's any accident that we're playing this right by the Word of God. All right? They have been warned, and time is running out, and you're not to let your heart fear. Why? Verse 1, God's with us. Okay? As long as we do it His way. Now, to conclude, Ezekiel chapter 32, this is a set of proverbs which is prophecy that is given concerning this time. God's Word. Some of this I will let you see what you can make of it. I hope it's a lot. I hope I have your attention and you're not gawking. Ezekiel chapter 32. And let's see, we're going to pick it up. I think verse 17 will catch it. This set of groups in the remainder of this chapter is what happens just a short time before the millennium begins. prophetically speaking. How sharp are you? Do you know it all, or do you want to listen to God's Word? Let's listen to God's Word. Verse 17, Ezekiel chapter 32. It came to pass also in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, those of you with companion Bibles, a different study for a different time, page 1105, will help you with that. 18, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down. There's that word again. Even her and to the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. The Hebrew is the bore, a dug-in grave. They dig their own grave. Nature, they're going into the pit with Satan. And it's not talking about all of Egypt. How many of them go down to the pit? Just the ones that are bad. Okay, you got that? God's not saying all of Egypt is going into the pit. It's just those that deserve to. Verse 19, whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. I would challenge your memory just a little bit to Ezekiel chapter 31 when we study that book, that it has to do with Satan. Oh, you beauty. In all your beauty, you're the fairest. Pharaoh, who do you think you're like? Look at Satan, all right? Now to continue, verse 20. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all her multitude. It is important that you pay attention to these nations, because of all the leaders that we have in Afghanistan, not one of them is an Afghan. Not one. They're either Egyptian or of some other nation. I give that to you, seed for thought. In the Taliban, you will find no main Afghanistan leaders. They're all from other nations. Verse 21, the strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Uncircumcised means uncircumcised of heart. They don't know God. Okay? Asher, translated Assyria, is there. And all her company, her graves are about him, all of them slain, fallen by the sword of truth, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror, or were terrorists, in the land of the living. God has a place, all right, and he's speaking to them. They happen to be from these lands. I hope you know that. How sharp are you? Verse 24, this is Elam. What does Elam mean in the Hebrew tongue? Hidden. This is Elam, hidden, claiming to be something they're not. I'll be a pilot. And all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword. I thought they were supposed to have 60 virgins. Interesting. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Give me a shake of the head if you know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, it doesn't seem like it works out that way in God's plan. Fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living, a bunch of terrorists. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. What are they're all going to be ashamed? That's the hidden ones. They have set her a bed in the midst of the slain, with all her multitude, her graves, or round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though their terror, their bunch of terrorists, was caused in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. He is put in the midst of them that be slain. They're going to have company. Okay, that's God's word. That's God's law. 26, there's Meshach. Tubal, all her multitude. I wonder where Chechnya is. Her graves are round about him. I'm just being a little helpful here, all right? The graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they caused their terror in the land of the living. Bunch of terrorists. 27. And they shall not, I repeat, they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell. They don't even deserve that. With their weapons of war, and they have laid their swords under their heads, but their iniquities shall be upon their bones, though they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Claim to be hot shots. Can you imagine someone rushing up to God and saying, God, you're going to be so proud of me. I took a plane load of innocent people and took them all to their death. Do you love me? If he thinks jet fuel makes a hot fire, wait till he sees the wrath of God. I'm glad this is going out on television all over the nation and the world by shortwave, aren't you? 28. Yea. Thou shalt be broken. This kind of leads to Pharaoh back to Egypt again. In the midst of the uncircumcised, and shall lie with them that are slain with the sword. Hey, there's Edom. Her kings and all her princes, which with their might are laid by them that were slain by the sword, they shall lie with the uncircumcised and with them that go down to the pit. I hope you are catching the full idiom here. They lay themselves out as at some royal funeral, okay? You know, all dressed out for the kill here, trying to say, I get the best place in heaven. I'm really being laid out in style, okay? He said, you're not going to get the pleasure of that. Verse 30, there be the princes of the north, all of them, and all the Zidonians. This is the mix that comes up from another place. Strange, we got some there, which are gone down with the slain, with their terror. They are ashamed of their might, and they lie uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword, and bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. Bunch of terrorists. It's obvious God is not real happy with them. It's strange that, isn't it amazing how God can get it so right? I wonder how he does that. I mean, he's got it right on the money. 31, Pharaoh shall see them and shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army, slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. 32 to complete. For I have caused my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. It's important that you catch something in that last verse. God said, I have caused my terror in the land of the living, all right? And he shall. It's not going to be too many days until it will begin, but it will go all the way through to the end. For Father's word and Father's two-edged sword is a very sharp sword. It's called truth. And his truth never falters. That's why you want to be careful about listening to men or even yourself. Listen to the word of God. And God will bless you. Otherwise, you know what? You'll always be a nothing. A nothing. Well, you don't understand, brother. I'm a teacher. Oh, well, who wants to listen to you? Well, you don't understand. They haven't found me yet. God, lucky for them. You know. When you're ready to teach, God will let you know. Okay? Keep self out of the picture. For we are all one body in Christ. And Christ is the teacher. And he is the living word. Teach the word of God and let your own vain imagination and the sayings of men fall in the ditch. It is written, and as it is written, so shall it be. But Jesus didn't say anything. Oh, he didn't? Well, go to the book of Luke for it. Okay? Luke chapter 14. Let's say I'm going to add a little bit to this. We got a little bit of extra time here. Christ says, "Whoever doesn't bear his cross," in verse 27, "and come after me cannot be my disciple." Do you know what that means? What do you pick up a cross for? To be crucified, friend. If you're not willing to go it all the way to the end, and I'm not looking for volunteers, don't misunderstand. I just want you to catch the seriousness of faith in his work he wants from you. He picked up a cross and carried it with you for him. Okay? Now, let's begin reading with verse 28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Only a fool would start building something without a plan, or knowing if he had the money to do it." A lot of preachers will say, "Well, I just have faith." Well, God will be the judge of that. That's not what he said to do. He said, "Sit down first and see if I'm going to bless you or not with sufficient funds. Then do your planning." All right? 29. "Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth it begin to mock him." Why? He doesn't amount the hill of beans. Anything he's got to say doesn't amount to a hill of beans. "Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Or, here's why we came here, sharpen up for me. "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Now, I'm going to give you a little quiz. I backed up and picked a scripture that wasn't even in this lecture today to set a stage that answers this question. It happened to be way back in Deuteronomy when I said, let's take verse 1 so we know for sure what we're talking about going to war. What did God say there? Have you already forgotten? He said, it don't matter how many of them there are. So, if you have God with you, even if there is double the amount, you're going to come out. You're going to win. Why? God is with you. So, I just want you to know how your scale ought to work, okay?
Well, that doesn't really happen in real life. Don't talk to me, friend. I've been there.
I know when there were only 2,500, where there were only 14,000 of us. And there were 320,000 of the enemy. And we came out. Why? God was with us. So what are you afraid of? You know, shaking in boots. I know you're not, but a lot of people are, and I want you to strengthen them. God is with us. I don't care how rough it gets. I don't care how tough it gets. We take names and we kick dragons. All right? We've got the victory. So let men whimper and let men worry. But a wise woman said, do it God's way and God will bless you. And do you know something? That woman is right. Do you know what her name was? It wasn't given, was it? But her wisdom is there. And her wisdom overcame. I guess in as much as I've got just a minute, Ecclesiastes, I hope I can find this real quickly. The book of Ecclesiastes, in closing. I kind of promised that about Luke, didn't I?
This also comes from the proverb that we quoted. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14, listen, 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. In other words, under the sun means in flesh bodies, or at the people. Wisdom fits good. There was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. We'll take it down. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. Now see there, boys, they didn't leave you out. See there. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. How did he do it? You should be able to tell, okay? Yet no man remembered that same poor man. They didn't know what his name was. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Sometimes they're not, friend. But that's all right. Wisdom always cuts her own weight. And as long as you're the one that is practicing wisdom, you don't have anything to worry about. Well, the battle's about to begin. It will be long, but we've certainly started out the right way by doing it biblically. I want you to pray that all fear vanishes from your heart. Anxiety, all right. Hey, that's part of life. But fear, that's a no-no. Why? That's doubting your father is able. I guarantee you, before the gate ever opens and they turn the horse loose, you don't have anything to fear. It's going to come out just great. Will there be some bad things? There always is. But wouldn't we be something on a stick if we couldn't handle a little bad along with the good? I would think so. Hey, deal the hand, let's play it. All right? But let's play it right. Now, I might have offended some, but that's kind of an old gambler saying, isn't it? But maybe sometimes it is a gamble to some. But we've got the victory. We got a sure hand. Pat, let's play it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word, for the truth. And Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for blessing the leadership of this nation, that they follow in line and do it your way, Father. Therefore, we know we always have that victory, and we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Okay, from Shelby. Dear Jesus, my name is Shelby. I am 8 years old. Well, Shelby, pastor will see that Jesus gets this, all right? We'll see that he hears from it. Why can't people see God? I am sending $2 for God, from Shelby. Well, Shelby, bless your heart. It's fantastic to hear. I know God will be glad to hear from you, all right? And I know God will truly bless you. The reason people cannot see God, and this is very difficult, but an 8-year-old can understand it. He's in a different dimension, meaning a different kind of body than we are in the flesh. And we that are in the flesh cannot see into that dimension, but we can feel him. This is why he sent Christ in the flesh, so we could see God. Because if you have seen Christ, you have seen God, for he was in the flesh in a a dimension that we in the flesh could see. But thank you so much. I know Jesus heard you, and I'm sure he will enlighten you where you will see that answer very clearly. Bless you. And we've got Sherry from Arizona. You all cannot know how loved your whole family is and staff. Well, we feel that love and we appreciate it, okay? Pastor, I've been told that the books of Timothy are not complete in the Bible. Please comment. Well, they are as complete when taught properly and translated properly as one would want. I can't imagine, I know that many might think they aren't, but they basically are. They are doctrinal books, and they pretty well get it said. Al from Tennessee, please document where you find that we lived in the first world age. Thank you. That's Al is a big step for some people. This earth is millions of years old. It is so. Christ never makes things difficult in his word. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, God says to his elect, I chose you before the foundations of this world, age. Okay, the word world is age there. How could he choose you before if you weren't there? Okay, you are a child of God. Where did you come from? You came from God. And the word is very clear in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period. It didn't say when. And in verse 2, the Hebrew is very specific. I know most teachers, being ignorant of the first earth age, teach as it's taught, and the earth was void and without form. That's not what the Hebrew says. Not what the manuscripts say. It says the earth became void and without form. Meaning because of Satan's rebellion, God destroyed that first earth age. And we have proof after proof after proof that the first earth age was destroyed, both in science. This is why there is no conflict between science and Christianity. This is why we do many documentaries with various universities and are usually very welcome there. Because we understand that what they are looking at actually existed a million years ago, let's say, and I'm just taking a number, because God created the earth in the beginning, and it is millions of years old.
We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling